We thank the Lord this morning for His blessings to us. Desire your prayers, Lord, and help His Word to be effective in all of our lives today. I'm going to preface the message so I won't interrupt the message with this. I want to preface the messages to bring out some points that the Lord put on my heart. I'm going to refer to some things in my own life. And the uncharitable person would say, well, that's boasting. But I want you to, if you will just give me some liberty, because I know my life better than anybody else, and you know your life. And you can tell the story of your life, but it's to bring out a deeper point. So if you will give me that liberty this morning, it was done in the scripture by others, but I know we try to be very careful about talking about ourselves. So if you will just give me a little bit of leeway this morning. If you'll open up your Bible with me this morning to the book of Acts. At the top of chapter 1, if you look in your Bible, it says the Acts of the Apostles. At least in my Bible it does. We refer to it as the book of Acts. But if you look at it in its completeness, it is the Acts of the Apostles. And this book is a record of the events of the early morning church. The things that happened. The Acts. By definition, that's what it was a record of. And we read through the book of Acts and we can sit back sometimes and just, there's a wow factor about the book of Acts. Have you ever gotten that in your study? You read the book of Acts and it's like, wow, the Lord, look how the Lord blessed. You look at the Acts of the Apostles and think they had incredible lives. Well, we read about how the Holy Spirit descended in a very miraculous, spectacular way on the day of Pentecost. We read about the 120 being in the upper room before the Holy Spirit came, and we read about the unity that was there. And so we think, well, there was a lot of unity, wasn't there? But that was one record. Okay, that was an act. That was something that there was a particular time and place that they were in such unity that the presence of God came down and they experienced the promise of the Father. We read about how Peter preached with boldness and there were 3,000 saved. And if you want, you could just turn chapter after chapter as I record and tell in your hearing this morning a few of these things. There were 3,000 people saved in one day. Wouldn't have you liked to have been there? These were the Acts of the Apostles. We read about the lame man being healed. When they walked in, the lame man was there, and he looked on them expecting to receive alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I in the name of Jesus Christ. And he told me, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. He took him by his hand, he got up, and he went leaping and shouting. That was a divine miracle. How does your life compare to that? These were the Acts of the Apostles. We read about how the Holy Ghost descended not only on the day of Pentecost, but He descended in a very spectacular way to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans. And it was to demonstrate the fulfillment of the promise. We read about Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Ghost. They professed to do one thing. They professed to have a consecration that they really didn't have, and they fell over dead. And the scripture says that great fear fell upon the church. There's a whole message in that. There ought to be a great fear upon us today to profess something that we don't have. We read about how people were healed by being in the shadow of Peter. We read about people touching, you know, the woman that touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. But the scripture says that people just tried to get in his very shadow as Peter walked by because there was power and there was healing in that. We read about how the apostles were imprisoned. Peter was in prison. Remember, the angel of the Lord came and opened the door. Have you had an experience like that this morning? We read about how Stephen was stoned, but yet he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. He suffered. He was the first recorded martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. We read about Philip, who left a revival to speak to one man, the Ethiopian in the chariot. We read about Herod being eaten up of worms and slain by the angel of the Lord because he gave not God the glory. Let's turn to Paul's life for a moment. Paul was born an Israelite. He was a Roman citizen. He was a strict Pharisee. But we read about how he went about persecuting the Christians, but he had a Damascus Road experience. We read about how Paul looked up and saw Jesus in heaven, miraculous conversion that took place. He had a vision. God gave him a vision of something that he testified about that multiple times just in the book of Acts. He told about his experience. He told about his calling that God had given him. He told about the things that God had done in his life. We read about Paul as Saul being present at Stephen's stoning. See, Saul saw some of the acts. He saw Stephen asking God to forgive those that were stoning him. You want to talk about an act now? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That was an act of Philip. Saul saw that, and then we start seeing the acts in his own life. We see how Paul over and over and over preached Jesus Christ at the peril of his own life. He was mistaken for a god in Lystra, remember? They were mistaken as gods, and yet they didn't accept that glory. They pointed people to the God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He was stoned. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Maybe some of you don't remember that story. You can read it in the Acts of the Apostles. He was stoned. They left him for dead, but he wasn't dead. He traveled for many, many years, strengthening the churches, and he had a great ministry to the Gentiles. Paul had a vision of the Macedonian man. He was imprisoned. Remember, Paul was imprisoned after casting the demon out of that girl that was following them. So Paul cast out devils. And then he was imprisoned for it. And then in prison is where we read about Paul and Silas praying. With thanksgiving, the Acts of the Apostles. During difficult times, they gave God glory and praise, and God miraculously opened up the prison doors. But here, they didn't run. Now, sometimes when God opens the prison doors, this is just a little side note, sometimes when God opens the prison doors, get out of there like Peter did. Other times, God says, okay, stay right where you're at. The door's open. You're free. I want you to stay now and testify. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. That was when the jailer was afraid for his life and he was going to kill himself. And Paul stopped him and he said, we're all here. And that man gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ that very night. And he and his household were baptized. We read about how Paul traveled from Macedonia to Greece, to Ephesus, to Jerusalem, to Patara, to Tyre, to Ptolemais, to Caesarea. Year after year, traveling in the work of God. He was arrested in the temple. He caused, whether or not he caused it, there was a mob that formed because of his preaching. He testified to the Sanhedrin. There was another plot against Paul's life. And we find Paul being taken and imprisoned. And we find that he stood and testified before the leaders of the land. He stood before Felix. He stood before King Agrippa. He stood before Festus. He could have gotten loose. But he stayed in bonds to have the opportunity to minister to the leaders of the land. So on his way to Rome, he was shipwrecked. And we find the great deliverance that God gave to Paul and all those that were on that ship when they were shipwrecked. He was I guess the personification of missionary. What it means to be a missionary, that was Paul, what he did. He was imprisoned then, and we find that he was killed under Nero's leadership and under the rule of Nero. Paul, they said that his head was cut off. But they said that when it came time to kill him, that he ran and embraced the stone where he put his head down because he was ready to be offered to the Lord Jesus Christ. These were the acts of the apostles. Over in 2 Corinthians, I'd like to read a passage in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now this is Paul speaking of his own life. He said, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. He was saying he was in danger. And he was talking about the danger that he'd been in. In peril of my own countrymen, in peril by the heathen. You notice he was not only in peril by the heathen, he was in peril by his own countrymen. He was in peril in the city, peril in the wilderness, peril in the sea, peril among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Then in verse 30 said, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. The acts, the things that they went through. And as I considered this, and this is where I'm going to point you back to what I said to start with, I thought of thinking about, what's my life been? These are the acts. And I'm going to get to a deeper point. So give me a little room. The Lord called me to preach when I was 19 years old. I began ministering about two weeks before I turned 20. And I ministered to congregations that did not have pastors as well as under the leadership of my pastor. Local congregation, was going to school at the time, was going to college, and then I started working at the print shop, learned to run the press. Lord called me to, during that time, He called me to go to Africa. No one had been there for 20 years. Received opposition from friends and family and some of the saints. Because no one had been there. It's dangerous. Don't go. But I went. I asked my father-in-law if he'd have a burden to go with me. And as you all remember, a year later is when Karen, my sister-in-law, went, got malaria, on her deathbed. But remember what happened? Lord raised her up. Lord healed her. The next year, the Lord chose not to heal my father-in-law, and he died. Began pastoring at age 22 or 23. I graduated from college, and I was getting ready to interview for jobs, and the Lord called me to pastor. So we gave that up to go pastor. During those first two or three years, I went to start the MBA program at OU, and I got a scholarship there. I want to say this to give you all some perspective. I remember, I was a young man, a very young man, keep in mind, 22, 23, 24 years old at this time. And I remember how good it felt to get the phone call that they offered me a scholarship for the MBA program. Because men find fulfillment in their work. And they find fulfillment in how much you make. It's just part of how things are measured. It's where a man finds fulfillment. In the ministry, it's very different than that. And there are struggles that come with the ministry, because there's a place of fulfillment, and it's different. There's things you get from the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But I remember calling Renee, and I remember where I was when I got the word. that I was offered this, and it just felt so good to feel appreciated. Someone wanted me. Well, I remember a few weeks after I started that program that it came in conflict with the time that was needed. And where I was pastoring, there was a lot of demands on my time because it was a congregation of older saints. And we were going daily and praying for people, and people were dying, and it was just and I realized I can't do both. And I remember giving up the program that I had just started. And I remember the lady in the office sitting there, the lady who was the head of the program, she said, "Can we give you more money?" It's like, that's not the problem here. I mean, I could have used it, but that wasn't the issue. So we gave that up. We left that pastorship. The Lord called us with some divine. Won't take all the time this morning because I said I'm getting to a point. We left after some very specific revelations from God. I put a fleece out before we left. And I said, "Lord, if you want us to leave here, do this." Something had never happened before. Phone call after phone call after phone call. Specifically. And the Lord gave us the answer that we were looking for. We left in the full-time missionary work and evangelistic work. We went from the plains of Malawi to the jungles of Nigeria to the Pakistan and the dangers that are there in Islamic countries. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen devils cast out. Okay? We cast out devils. I felt the forces of the darkness, the literal power of Satan trying to come upon me. We had the injury in my back and my neck unexpectedly. It started to shut us down for quite some time. The doctor said that we could end up not walking. Could be a paraplegic. You see where I'm at today. God did something there. It was without medical intervention. Twice with diseases from Africa, I was on my deathbed. And the Lord saw fit in His mercy to raise me up. That was His mercy. Called to start the gospel paper. It's going out. You know, visions aren't just something we read about. Early on, before we went to Ghana, the Lord was dealing with us. There was a man in Ghana that was not in the church that went to the church of God. And he said, "God gave me a vision that a young missionary is going to come and visit you." No one had been there for 20 years. The letter that I sent to them right after that, unbeknownst to me, to telling them that I had a burden to come, it got lost. And they knew there was a lost letter. They didn't know who it was from because it got from the post office to out in the village where it was supposed to go. It got lost. That man came and said, "That's from the person that's going to come." Visions that God gave. It was some confirmation. Well, life went on and I could tell a lot more. Opposition from the enemy. Over 20 years of living by faith, completely by faith in the full-time work of God. Faced opposition, faced disease, cussed out, threatened, ridiculed, reputation misaligned, misrepresented. It happened to the brethren here. I could tell you stories. Brother James talks about the stories that a minister cannot tell. They're there. And we could tell some of those. Reached places, remember going places where no car had ever gone. I seen children cry because I was the first white man they'd ever seen. So, why tell all this? It said the Acts. Now these are just some things, and I could talk a lot longer. This is my life. You have your life. You could tell about things that you have done and places you have been. But that's not the message. I want to finish writing the title on here. The message the Lord gave me is life between the acts. I don't know what all your life has been consisted of. I could write a book, and maybe someday I will. I could write a book. But you know, that's what we read about in the book of Acts, isn't it? And we can read it and be like, wow, But do you know that there was life between the acts? In your life, there's life between the acts. Your places, I've shared a few of mine, the places that I've seen God work, the things that I've done to work for God, the places of consecration that were very difficult to make, to give some things up. You have those altars in your life. There's life between the altar of consecration, though, isn't there? There is life between monarch. There is life between the times you prayed at the altar. There is life between the times God came in and gave you. I think about it was right before monarch. Brother Randy testified about how the Lord came in a very special way and ministered to him. Do you know there is life between those special visitations? There's life between the acts. And we look at it and we... Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those are acts. Those are acts, things that we've done, things that we do for the Lord. But between the acts this morning, there is a lot of living that is going on. There's a lot of living. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? And we can speculate about the thorn in the flesh, but he had it. You know the Lord's given me more than one thorn in the flesh. Has the Lord given you a thorn in the flesh? It's how you deal with the thorn is the life between the acts. Because God, we do all have troubles in life. We have thorns in the flesh. And what it comes down to, and I'm going to summarize it as we continue, or summarize it before we continue, is that we can have the acts. And living for God, we should. We see the miracles. I have seen the miracles. I've been raised up. What I didn't say is my oldest son, when he was far from God and falling quickly, quickly downward, the Lord allowed him to drown and raised him up to extend mercy to him. I thank God for that. God is still doing work. He's still acting and he still has people that are sacrificing and working and consecrating. The Lord wants you to be sold out for God. At whatever cost to yourself. But folks, the message this morning is, and there's a whole lot to be said about the consecrations, but the purpose of the burden that God gave me is that where the rubber meets the road is not in the acts, it's in the living between the acts. Between your monarchs. Between the times that God comes and gives you those special outpourings of miracle and divine intervention and he does things in your life that you know God has done this. And so we make a consecration. What are you going to do on Monday? What are you going to do on Wednesday? Because there's life between the acts. Paul had people talk about him. Do you realize, and I know we don't focus on this, but if you read through the writings of Paul, and I will freely acknowledge, I don't quite understand how Paul did this. I don't think I could do it. I would feel like there's a place that God wanted me to commit some things to him. But a lot of Paul's writing, he spent defending his authority and his apostleship in the Lord. If you read through the writings of Paul, have you noticed that? And it was because there were people that he faced that opposed his call. They oppose the work that he was doing. Do you know that that still happens today? There's opposition, and Paul hadn't. We read about it, and maybe God had Paul write it to encourage us today. Maybe that's the reason God allowed Paul to write about those things. But he worked amongst people that didn't respect him. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to try to minister to people that don't respect you. It is one of the hardest things to do. And we find that Paul had that as well. And we find that Paul, I'm going to get out of Paul now. Life between the acts. We have marriage. We have children. We have, the lawn still has to be mowed. There are still people problems. Is there anybody here this morning that has never had any people problems once you start out for God? Because do you know that is life? It's life. There's going to be misunderstandings. There's going to be people that won't will misalign and misrepresent what you have done or what you have said. Folks, that's life. Paul had it. You've had it. There are times of, and I'll speak personally, times between the acts in life of frustrations. Time of temptations. Time of areas that I look at and say, I wish I would have done better. Lord, help me. I'm sorry. I wish I would have handled that differently. Or I wish I would have known. I wish I could have. I wish I could have a redo. If I would have known this, I would have done that. And we say, well, I didn't know, and so we do the best we can. But do you know that's life? For all of us, there is life between the acts. There are times of discouragement. And we can look at the book of Acts and say, look at the victory and the power. But do you notice, I could write a book this morning. I could write a book. And someone, if I just wrote a book about the Acts, they could read it and be like, wow, that's pretty exciting serving the Lord. You've seen the Lord do this and you did that and you saw this. It's, wow. But you know what? There's life between the acts. That's where the Lord has called us to a life of holiness, a life of godliness. It's the life between the acts. Because that's where we find the power and the grace of God working effectively. I come back from some of the acts encouraged, and it's kind of a downer for the life between the acts. You know that? It's hard, and my wife can tell, it's hard. Coming back from a mission trip, there is a real downer. It's difficult. You go to meetings, you know, I won't ask, but coming back from Monarch, has anybody had a difficult week? Or has it just been what you come off this, maybe some of you have this kind of this spiritual high, so to speak, and then you get back to life. But that's life. There are places in times of discouragement that I felt like throwing my hands up, saying, what's the use? Is it really being effective? Is it really worth anything? There have been times that of feelings of inadequacy as a father and as a husband and as a minister. It's like, I'm just not doing this. I feel ineffective. Times of struggling financially, places of weakness. That's life between the acts. Struggling with faith. Have you all ever been there? So, the acts. There's life between the acts this morning. Let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, saying encourage one another. Why? Because the biggest part of our life is not going to be right here. The biggest part of our life is right here. That's the biggest part. So he said encourage. And don't be discouraged when you read the book of Acts and think, wow, that's impressive. It's there for our edification. But I want you to remember, for Peter and Paul, there was life between the acts. Trust me. There were struggles that they had. And we read about Paul's often with him struggling with this, his place in the body of Christ and how people received him and how they didn't receive him. He said, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you know this is what it means to be a Christian? Lord, in the life, you get up and go to work, and you go to school, and you go to Walmart, and you have interactions with your children, and with your parents, and with your husband, and with your wife, what it means to be a Christian is the living between the acts. It's that I want to do this to the glory of God. I'm not going to leave God out of the living between. I can't just wait for the high points. but I want to serve God in the valleys and during the struggles. 1 Peter 2nd chapter, familiar passage, it said, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, there are places that talks about taking up our cross, right? Those are some of the acts. But in this passage, it doesn't say anything about that. This is what it says. Who did no sin. Folks, that's in the living between the acts. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When people laid him out, he didn't retaliate that way. But it said, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Folks, this is daily living. Committing ourselves in the hands of God. The fruit of the Spirit is the life between the acts. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now let's take that just for a moment. This is what it means to be a Christian. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, what good is it? Profiteth me not. Right? Though I give all my goods to feed the poor and I have not charity, what's it worth? It's because being a Christian is more than the acts. It's the life between the acts. You understand the message? It's simple. But this is what it means to serve the Lord. Don't be discouraged. Seek God for more acts. But I want us to know that the real power of God is revealed through the living between the acts. Love, joy, see, that's between the acts. Joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you realize he didn't say the fruit of the Spirit was casting out devils here? He didn't say the fruit of the Spirit was enduring perils from all over the world? He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the evidence of God working in our life. So I want to encourage us this morning. This is what it means to live a holy life. Living a holy life is that primary act of devotion to God on Monday morning when you are tired and you are stressed. Now, some people say saints never get stressed. When you have stress in your life, and when there seem to be great injustices done in your family and in your life, and when you receive people, whether it's at work or at school or at church or in your families, and it seems like that people just are off, or someone just is not doing what's right, I want you to remember this message. Life between the acts, in love, in long suffering, in forgiveness, in committing things to the Lord. When you're on Monday, on Wednesday, Jesus said this, and this applies to the life between the acts. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Between the acts, folks, the Lord's going to be with you. He said, the scripture said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That was a promise to God's people. And it wasn't just with the big acts, the things you write in your book. What about the things that aren't written in the book of Acts? The frustrations and the struggles of faith and the times that maybe they felt inadequate in what they were doing. In the places they felt, because didn't they? Paul and Peter had problems, didn't they? Paul withstood Peter to the face. We find them in unity in the upper room, but then shortly thereafter we see the Gentiles and the Jews having some major issues with unity because they were so different. That's also written there to teach us that there's life between the acts of unity even. There's life between the miracles. There are people that died. Everybody, there weren't 3,000 saved every time Peter preached. There were sometimes people just wanted to flat out kill him of his own countrymen. Rejection of their own family. Folks, our lives are no different. But what's important is that we have the fruit of the Spirit. That we live for God, that we know that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that we can say, as Paul did, I can do all things through Christ. And do you know what? For me, and this is, I'll testify personally, for me doing all things through Christ means, it means a whole lot more to me right here with a life between. Than it does in the acts. What power does it take for a devil to be cast out? But what power does it take when you're frustrated and you have patience and love and forgiveness? You see what I'm saying? So be encouraged this morning. God is with us. Let's live a life of holiness between the acts that God has called us to.